If you'll turn with me in your Bibles today, let's go to the book of Luke. Let's start off there. And I want to speak on this topic, in the little things. In the little things. Luke 12, beginning at verse 16. Just a familiar story, but I want to deal with a good portion of chapter 12 as... There's probably throughout the Bible certain sections that are just scathing. I don't care if you're saved or not saved. I don't care. There's certain sections that even when I read myself, even though I know I've been saved since I was 8 years old, there are certain times it just checks me. There's certain parts that I'm thinking, okay, does Jesus really like me or not? And I think in the Bible there are times when even His disciples feel this way. In fact, as we're studying this, you will find this out. So sometimes when we're reading the Bible, you have to be very careful because Jesus is very goal-oriented. He is a king. He is a ruler. And so He sees us as people that if we accept His authority and accept His offer, then we too can become rulers. But He's very clear that if you don't accept My offers, then it's not going to go well for you. And He tries to show this in parables. He tries to show this in different ways. Chapter 12 is a great study for those that are saved. Not those that are not saved, but those that are saved. And go with me to the 16th verse and let's read this parable. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So it is that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Skip with me to verse 29. Beginning at verse 29, let's read. And seek not that not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be ye of double minded. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, that all things may be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither do moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. We'll stop right there, and I just want to kind of jump into this. On the little things, or if I had to entitle it a different way, it would just be understanding faithfulness. Understanding faithfulness. Now this is so scathing and so tough that later in verse 41, Peter will stop Jesus in the middle of his speaking, and he will simply ask this question. Then Peter said to the Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us? Or even to all. In other words, are you meaning this for everybody? Are you talking about us who are your disciples, who are the ones that are following you, the ones that are with you? But he's already made this clear because in verse 22, he says specifically, and he said unto his disciples. There are times in the Bible when we read something and we think, he can't be talking about me. I mean, I go to church. He can't be talking about me. I'm a good person. He can't be talking about me to check myself. I'm doing so much better than everybody else I know. I must be doing well. But here he comes and he talks about being ready and checking. And he uses this parable that's kind of odd. And it's not odd that God is not blessing this man. This man is a very successful farmer. This man is a very successful person. It's not because he's lazy. He's worked very hard. In fact, he's willing to work harder. I mean, think about it. How many of us would tear down our houses and build a bigger house just because you
thought, hey, I want a bigger house. Most of us would say, I'll just live in what I got. This guy is an entrepreneur. He is a hard-working individual. And if you read the story, you can miss it real quick. You can miss what God is trying to say in this. It's not the fact that he's building barns. It's not the fact that he's being successful. It's not the fact that he is growing. It's not the fact that things are going good for him. In fact, when you are around God, things should go good for you. And you should increase. And you should move forward. Isn't that what it says in verse 29 through 34? He said, when you seek the kingdom of God, little children, all these things will be added unto you. It's not that God says, I'm not going to give them to you. He said, I'm going to add them to you. But it's not something you go after yourself, thinking a certain way. Well, where is this guy's problem? This man's problem happens when he is building and growing and gathering, and he begins to do something when he steps over a specific line. And the line is this, is when he begins to tell his own soul that you don't have to worry anymore. You can be at rest. You can live calm. You don't have to worry about it. You've got enough that's going to be stored up for a long time. You've got enough that you're not going to have to worry about things for a long time. And when we look at our people not outside the church, but people in the church, the greatest problem that we face is not simply just saying, do you want to go to heaven? But it's how serious we take the very moments that we have in our lives. And how much of it we say, well, I'm going to do that later. I'm going to get involved later. I'm going to join the church later. I'm going to get committed later. I'm going to do more later. Why would you say later? Well, because I've talked to myself. And I have convinced myself that I have plenty of time. I have plenty of time to do all the things that I want to do. I'll teach Sunday school one day. As soon as I get over this, I'm going to get involved again. As soon as I get through with a few things, Pastor, then I promise you, I'm going to be right back up in there. And our flaw is not in that we want things. It's not that we're gaining things. It's that somehow we think to ourselves that if I have those things, then I will be successful. Then I will be set. Then nothing can happen to me. But God looks at his records and he tells the man, you're a fool. Why? Because according to my records, your heart will stop tonight. According to my records, you're scheduled to die about midnight. About midnight, yeah, it's pretty much already set. It's already going to be required of you by this time. And he asked the man a very serious question. What then will all this stuff be for? What will all the things that you've accumulated, all the things that you have gathered, all the things that you have stored up, what will they be of any value to you? See, when it comes to God, what he's trying to do is to teach us to be faithful. That's all. That's all it's about with the kingdom of God. When it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not about trying to manipulate. It's not trying to give this and then all of a sudden I get this. It's not, if I pay 10%, I'm going to get 100-fold. It's not that. It's trying to teach you in your life how to be faithful. And not just faithful to anything, but faithful to just one thing. Faithful to what we call the kingdom of God. That actually inside our minds and our hearts, we actually believe that Jesus is alive and well. To believe within our hearts that there actually is a heaven that cannot be seen with a telescope. That somewhere beyond a dimension that we can see right now with our own natural eyes, that as soon as we leave this world, we go into another dimension. Can't understand it, have never been there. But there's another dimension that when I leave this world, I'm going to meet God. Now, it's hard to explain. It's impossible to prove. But God says, that's what I want you to be faithful to. And Jesus, in dealing with his disciples, in dealing with people, he has to get them to get to this understanding. He says, guys, sell what you have. Make up art. Why? Because he said, here's the process. Faithfulness produces this.
It produces a love for whatever you're faithful to. Whatever you give to, whatever you're committed to, your heart will automatically go there. I tell people this all the time. I tell my young people, and I've said this a million times, and I'll say it again. But it works in every area of life. You cannot pick who you're going to fall in love with. Your parents can get mad at you for falling in love with that jerk or that crazy woman. But that's not the real problem. You can't choose who you fall in love with. But here's what you do. You choose the qualities that you will fall in love with. That's what you pick. As you're growing up right now, you're going to pick qualities. Now, if the only qualities you're looking for is anybody other than lives in this house, then you can succeed. You can find you somebody that doesn't live in your house and say, you will do. Why? Because you're what I'm looking for. You don't live here, and I don't want to live here, so let's get hooked up so we can both get out of here. If those are the only qualities you have put down, then that's going to be fine. But you choose the qualities of the person that you are going to decide to marry. And you say, you know what? I want somebody to take care of me. Then you probably don't want a high school dropout. You're probably wanting somebody who has proven to themselves that they can hold a job, that they're committed, that they can do things. If you're looking for somebody who you don't want to smell, then you might ought to know, how does that person's hygiene? If smell is a big thing, it sounds crazy, doesn't it? But think about it. If smell is a huge thing to you, do you want to go to bed with somebody every night that doesn't bathe? Doesn't shave? Doesn't brush their teeth ever? Try that for about 10 years and see how happy you are. You say, well, that's not a big... It is. Because what God has given us the abilities to do in our lives is to choose the qualities of our lives. We choose the qualities, and then what happens is our heart automatically falls in love with those qualities. I didn't end up with Elise by accident. I first wanted somebody who took care of themselves. I was athletic most of my life. I was that. So in my mind, first off, I wanted someone who was athletic. Elise played tennis. Elise did all. Why? Because whoever's going to hang with me has to be able to go. I mean, I got to have somebody to go skiing with. I got to have somebody I can do different things. I got to have somebody to go boating with. That may sound crazy to you, but when I was looking for those qualities, part of those qualities was somebody who's a go-getter. I wanted somebody who didn't smoke. I didn't want to kiss an ashtray all my life. It may sound ugly to you. I didn't want to die of secondhand smoke in 10 years of marriage. Tim, I'm sorry I gave you this cancer. No, it's no problem. I was asking for it. I knew when I married you. You puffed 3 packs a day. I knew that. See, we don't like this part. What we like to do is we like to just end up with something and then complain about their qualities. That's what we do. I do counseling all the time. You know what I do? I deal with people who pick something, whether it's their job, their life, their marriage, their kids, or whatever, and now they're complaining about the qualities. And I'm like, the qualities have to be picked on the front end, not on the back end. They have to be picked way before. And what Jesus is doing is He's trying to teach you this in kingdom level. Just like you pick a mate, just like you pick jobs, just like He said, this is how you pick the kingdom. How do I pick the kingdom? You start giving to the kingdom. You start making it important. You start doing those things. You start putting priority in the kingdom. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to love the kingdom. You're not going to let nobody talk about the kingdom. You ain't going to let nobody pick on the kingdom. Why? Because I've got money invested in the kingdom. I've got time invested in the kingdom. My whole life's invested in the kingdom. So you can talk about a lot of things about me. You can talk about my clothes. You can talk about my car. You can talk about... But I'm not going to sit there very long if somebody's talking about Jesus and talking about the kingdom. Well, people believe in this God thing. Hold on just a second. I'm one of those people that believes in the God thing.
Hold on just a second. I'm one of those people that actually will die for it. I'm one of those people that actually am invested into it. It's not a hobby. It's not something I just do on Sunday morning to have a better feeling. I'm telling you, I'm invested in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and well. I'm highly invested in the fact that He's coming back one day. There's a lot of things I could have invested my life into, but that's the one thing that I did. I gave up everything in my life that the world said I needed to invest my life there. And you, people will say, well, look at what you have. Yeah, but that's only because as I invested my life there, God added to my life and He gave me a lease and He gave me my kids and He gave me my friends and He gave me all this. But it started with where my heart was. It didn't start with picking my friends and it didn't start with picking my wife and it didn't start with picking my career. It started with picking a kingdom. In your life, this is how it has to happen. This word faithfulness, we kind of take it out of context. Because when I say faithfulness, a lot of times we're not talking about the same thing. The kind of faithfulness I'm talking about, you can't even do. If I look at you and I say, look, you need to be faithful. Well, Brother Lott, I'm going to do my best to be faithful. Well, we're already on the different... We need to first be on the same page. Is that okay? Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23. Now the fruit of the Spirit, which means literally, what? When you are saved, the Spirit of the Lord comes inside of you, right? And when the Spirit of the Lord comes inside of you, He brings specific qualities and specific gifts. We know we get love and joy and peace and long-suffering and temperance. But listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That word faith there, maybe in your translation, isn't even faith. It probably is called faithfulness. Because it's not the same word as we say, I have faith in Jesus. It's not that kind of faith. It means a gift that God has given me that says where my faith runs out, where I can't even go to be faithful, where I can't even go and think about committing my life there, God says my Spirit is going to come inside of you and raise you to a level of faithfulness that you can't even do yourself. That's what amazes the world. The world has this mentality that if you go through enough and you suffer enough, then you will quit this crazy thought about God. And what confuses them and causes them the greatest agony is to see some woman or man with terminal cancer sitting in a bed smiling, knowing they're going to be dead. And people are trying to comfort them, and they're like, I'm fine. What do you mean you're fine? You're fixing to die. No. It's just my time to go meet the Lord. And the world can't grasp when they see a level of faithfulness. When in foreign countries where they drag the minister out and the family is sitting there watching them be drug out into the yard and fixing to be shot in the head. And the preacher doesn't look back at his family and say, well, y'all don't ever get here. Just go do it. He just looks at them and says, it's okay. It's okay. I'll see you later. It's okay. The world cannot stop that kind of faithfulness. Nero could not put them on torches and wrap them up in cloths and dip them in oil and literally set them on fire and stop that faithfulness. He couldn't threaten Paul and kill that kind of faithfulness. When you can look at somebody and say, listen, whether I live or whether I die, it's gain either way. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. You can't stop that level of faithfulness. And I hate to break it to you, you can't get that in a Sunday school class. And you can't get that from some book you're going to read on faithfulness. And you can't get that. That is a gift just as much as love, just as much as joy, just as much as peace, just as much as anything else. There is a type of faithfulness that God wants you to have that you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to rise up in you and to cause you to go where you wouldn't go. To stay in a marriage that you wouldn't stay in. To love kids you would have given up on. It has to rise in faithfulness to be able to do this. Let me show it to you from this perspective. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 says this. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. It says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." It's what? Is it something we can might have? No. It's what? So when we're coming to God and we're wanting to be a part of what God is doing and part of what God's kingdom is trying to do, here's the first thing you have to establish in your life: that faithfulness has to be the cornerstone for everything that you do. You have to have established it. That's the only reason I ended up with a lease. Because here's the thing. I didn't find her at 19. And I didn't find her at 20. I didn't find her at 21, 22, or 23. I done said to myself, if I don't meet somebody by the time I'm 25, I'll just be single the rest of my life. I'll just know that God just wants me to preach and do what I do as single. But at 24 years old, when I done been the best man in several weddings, all my buddies are long gone, married, I've done met a bunch of them that I thought I could live with the rest of my life. Didn't meet any I couldn't live without. But I met a bunch of them I thought I might could live with. All of a sudden, God was faithful. Why? Because He says, "Tim, if you're going to follow Me to the nth degree, you're going to have to be faithful. Because I'm not going to show up on time, not your time. And I'm not going to do things the way you want them done. You're either going to be very frustrated with Me and very disappointed in Me and very mad at Me all the time, or you're going to be faithful. It's required of My servants. It's required of those that want to follow after Me that you be found faithful." That you be found faithful. Let me show it to you this way. Go with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 25 and 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a what? It's like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I'm going to tell you, that's painful. If your foot ever comes out of joint, that's a very painful thing. Can I tell you, to have someone attached in your life who is unfaithful, that is painful. That's how important faithfulness is, whether you're in the kingdom, whether you're dealing with picking somebody to be a friend with, picking somebody to go ride in a car with. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's how important faithfulness is. Let me give you just a short piece of the marks of faithfulness. If you're going to be serious about this and you're going to look for somebody who is faithful, then I want to show you what you're looking for. This is what faithfulness looks like. Whether you're in high school and you're looking for friends, whether you are grown up and you're looking for somebody to spend time with, here's the first mark. They should always be faithful to their family. It's the first mark. If you find somebody who is not faithful to their family, you don't want to be around them. I tell this all the time. I said, listen, if that kid can't respect the person who puts clothes on their back and puts food on their table and drives them to school and ball games and everything, if they can't respect that person, then you can pretty much guarantee they're not going to respect you. If they will lie to their parents, they'll definitely lie to you. If they will lie to the people who is giving all of that to them and doing everything they can and loves them more than anybody in the world, if they'll disrespect that person, you be careful for that broken foot. Because it's going to cause you some pain. Faithfulness
first off, has to show up. That's the first testing grounds of faithfulness. I remember years ago when I worked at Clarksdale, I told you I used to, first job was pushing buggies, and theft was huge there. It was huge. We had to go to court at least once a month just about for some case or some situation. I told all the stories about me having to grab people and throw them in the back room and real quick and jump back and grab hooks and whatever, because you didn't know what they had and what they were going to do. They're rough people. But one time we ended up having a lot of theft, and they ended up having to basically put us all on polygraph tests. That's when it gets pretty serious, when the whole management team has to go on a polygraph test. So we all had to show up at this hotel room there in Clarksdale, and this guy would walk in, and he's sitting there with his polygraph, and he's got all this. And he sits down, and guys were telling me, man, Teddy, he has all kind of stuff. It's embarrassing and stuff, and he knows if you're lying. And I was like, okay. And they hooked me up. He said, I'm going to ask just a few preliminary questions just to get us started. Some off-the-wall type questions. He'd ask what my favorite color is. And he'd ask this. And he asked this one question. He said, have you ever lied to your parents? And I said, no. And he just stayed straight. He just looked at me. He said, I'm going to ask that again. Have you ever lied to your parents? I said, no. He walked over, unhooked me. He said, if you can pass that question, I have no more questions. Because the first place of faithfulness is those that love you. If you can't be truthful to those who love you, if you can't be honest and upstanding, and you can't be... See, I'd lived my whole life, and my dad was my best friend. My family pretty much knew everything, anything in my life. There was no lies I've ever had to tell. It's hard when you live in a lime green trailer and you all piled six of you in there together. There ain't a whole lot of secrets. Me and Trent got to sleep together again a few nights ago. Brought back a lot of old memories. He's got a little bigger than he used to be. He takes up more of the bed than he used to. But that's we grew up that way. For me, Trent, and Terrence, allowed to be all piled up in the bed together once on. That's the way we live. Those were the people who loved me. Those were the people who took care of me. If you can't love your mate who is committed to live with you, I mean you, the rest of their life, as pitiful as you are, if you can't put up with that person, if you can't be honest and appreciate that person, there ain't a whole lot of hope to go much further. First area that you need to learn to be faithful, if you're going to take this seriously, is allow the Holy Spirit inside of your life to teach you to be faithful to those who are closest to you. You may have to sit down today and say, look, there's some things I need to tell you, but I don't want to live with you and me and not have a faithful relationship. Will it hurt them, Brother Locke? Probably, but they'll get over it. They'll appreciate you 10 times more a year from now because they can trust you and that you're faithful. Number two, you should be faithful in your finances. Second place to learn to be faithful is whether you can handle not only the relationships that are closest, but whatever comes into your pocket. Go with me to Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 10 through 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? In much. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the... Sounds simple. Next verse. If therefore ye be not then faithful in the unrighteous, man, which is money. So when that question is asked, it starts off like he's talking about everything. If you can't be faithful over a little thing, then you can't be faithful over a lot of things. And if you can't be faithful over a little bit, you won't be faithful over a whole bunch. And you're thinking, okay, I got to be faithful in a few. No, no. He says, let me narrow this down. If you therefore be not faithful in unrighteous mammon,
Who will commit to your trust the true riches? In other words, you keep coming to church saying, God, I want more of this. God, I need more of this. And God's saying, listen, you can't handle $10. You can't handle a $100 check. You can't be faithful over the little bit I've put into your life. And now you're wanting me to multiply your life. You're praying that you'll hit the lottery? Come on. I wish God would just tell me the right numbers. If God would just show them to me in a dream and just give me the right numbers, I would give half of it to the church. No, you wouldn't. You can't be faithful now. You won't be faithful then. It's just an automatic. Don't fool yourself. Faithfulness does not jump in and kick in when you get more. Faithfulness begins with the little. It begins with the little. My kids right now, I was real proud of them this weekend because I'm kind of the head bottle washer. When I'm at the house, I'm the head bottle washer most of the time. I feed the dogs. I keep none of my dogs. I got chickens and ducks. None of my chickens and ducks. All that kind of stuff. I'm making sure that they don't die. So, because I don't care. So I come in, and I got up this morning, and I said, are the ducks and stuff okay? Elise just smiled real big. She said, Caitlin fed them twice yesterday. I said, what about the dogs? Took care of that, fed up, filled their bowls, got all that done. Man, I thought I was just going to jump out of my skin. I thought if I could not have won the lottery and felt any better, I was like, come on. You go. Why? Because the duck's not important. I can live and buy a new dog. But the fact is that they prove faithfulness over little things. Just little bitty things. For some of you, if you want to have a better curfew later in your life, keep your room clean. Prove to your parents that you're faithful over little. Wash dishes when nobody asks you to do it. Be faithful over little things. Don't just wake up one day when you're 17 and say, I need the keys. All right, here's the keys, and I'll be back in about an hour and a half. Well, I have to come back in an hour and a half because I don't trust you no more than about an hour and a half. In fact, I already got a GPS thing on your phone anyway. You go somewhere you ain't supposed to, I know it anyway. I can't believe you did that to me. You've earned it. Every time you didn't wash the dishes, every time you didn't do what I asked you to do, every time you snuck behind me and told me you did something when you didn't, every time I said, did you clean your room? Yeah, and I looked under the bed and everything was stuffed under there. All those times added up, dear. Now it's time you want to do something big, you can't handle big. You can't handle a stack of clothes. You can't handle 10 dishes. How are you going to handle 3,000 pounds of machinery and car keys and faithfulness? None of me and my brothers ever had curfews and things. By the time we were that age, my parents knew. Now, we scared them to death. Don't get me wrong. I'm a wanderer by nature. If you know me very well, you know that I'm a hermit by nature. And so, I'm liable to just disappear for 3 days. So, imagine my parents. I just get in the car. There were no cell phones. I might not call him for a day and a half. My mom would have to just say, Tim's all right. I don't know where he is. He's all right. I'm liable to go and spend a night with somebody somewhere up somewhere else. But now that didn't happen because I turned 16. That happened because my parents trusted and knew that they didn't have to worry about where I was going and what I was going to do. Can your friends trust you that way? Does your wife, does your husband trust you that way? Have you earned that amount of trust? If you can't be faithful over the little stuff. You say, Brother Lott, you just grew that way. No, I struggled through every bit. I remember the first checks I ever got when I was working, $70. Do you know how hard it was to write a $7 tithe check? I thought that was like the end of the world. You know how much gas you could buy back in when I was young? How much you could buy with $7? You could fill your tank up with $7. That was a tank of gas. Whole bunch more ride. My dad say, you pay your tithes yet, son? Yeah, I got it. Proud of you, son. Yeah. I'd like to tell you I was a cheerful giver. But what did I say happens? You start by doing what? Being faithful. And then what happens to your heart? Your heart moves into it. Whatever you're faithful to, your heart becomes. You want to love your mate more? Be faithful to him. You want to love your job more? Be faithful to it. Don't criticize it. Logan, don't be talking about your job all the time behind your back. And you'll appreciate your job. It's what you have to do. Whatever you're faithful to, your heart will go that way. Whatever you're unfaithful to, you'll hate it. That's why some people hate their jobs, because all they do is criticize it, all they do is talk about it, all they do is talk about the people who work there, talk about, and then they have to show up and smile. How you doing today? So your heart doesn't love it, because what you have done has created a lack of love. Let me see if I can show it to you this way. Not only must you be faithful over those two things, but let's talk about the methods of faithfulness. Number one is this. You must first learn to be faithful in small things. Zechariah 4:10 says this. Who has despised the day of small things? We talked about this. If you're going to learn to be faithful, it has to start with small things. What is it today that I need to do in my life to be faithful to? What is it in my life today that I need to grow in faithfulness? That's where it begins. It doesn't begin with a big thing. Some of you just need to go wash your car today. You hate washing your car. You think it's the biggest waste of time. But God has given you a car. He's given you one to take care of. And it's your responsibility to be vacuum the inside of it. Clean it up. If He's given you a place to live, don't be a slob. Go home today, clean that house. Wash those dishes. Be faithful over what you have. I don't want to do all that. Well, then, here's the key. Then you'll eventually hate it. You'll hate having to go home. You'll hate your car. You'll hate everything. But whatever you take care of. My little brother taught me this. That's what a lot of things Terrence and me don't see eye to eye all the time on. But now that's one thing that Terrence has always been successful in life because of this one quality. Whatever he puts his hands to, he is faithful to. From the time he's young, I hate washing my car. That's why God's never blessed me with a great one. I believe that. Wouldn't do no good. That's why I have a truck. It's my work truck. But Terrence, when he was 15, 16-year-old, had a BMW. He worked, bought a used BMW. Man, it wasn't nothing to see him out there all the time polishing that thing, cleaning that thing, taking care of that thing. It's not that he loved the car. It's that he was faithful to it. Before long, he had 4 cars in the parking lot. I would borrow some of his old cars just because I thought they were cool. And I would tell Elise, why don't I have old cars and cool cars? She's like, you won't take care of them. I said, you're absolutely right. They just sit in my yard and I think, oh, that thing needs, somebody needs to do something with that thing. Just the way it works. Be faithful over small things. Number two, in the secret things. Be faithful in the secret things. There's some things nobody else will know about but only you. And you think to yourself, nobody will find out whether I do it or not. Here's what Proverbs 11:13 says. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Some people have to be faithful over secret things. How you handle secret things, whether you talk about secret things. How good are you at concealing something that just doesn't need to be told? How good are you at just not keeping up with the latest gossip or what's happening in the world? I'll test you this way. If somebody wants to know what's going on, do they call you? Some of you now, you know your phone's going to ring. Did you hear anything about this? Well, yes, I did. Tell me what's going on. You're that person. Whether you're in high school, whether you're graduated, you're that person. Everybody's going to text you. Somebody tell me what's happening. Number three, in the sacred things. Be faithful in sacred things. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men." Now here again, we're not talking about just people trying to be faithful. We're talking about people who are faithful. One of my favorite times of the week is our men's Bible study. It's one of my favorite times of the week. And it's because I know that in that room are faithful men. And as we open up the Bible and we're sharing things and we're kind of reading it out loud and God's revealing crazy, cool stuff to us, I know I'm committing that, and God's committing that to faithful men who are going to take it and is going to share it and is going to use it in a good way. Are there sacred things in your life that you can be faithful to? I was picking at my wife this morning. She was getting ready, and I told you, so I decided I'd ride with them today. She was coming through the room. She said, "You know where my wedding ring is?" And I just stopped. I said, "What? I've been gone for 2 days." I said, "Oh, so when I'm gone, there's no wedding ring anymore." It's just like... She said, "No, I take it off at night when I go." She does. But you have to see her counter. Now, if she goes home today, that's her faithfulness. She's going to clean all that counter and put all that jewelry up. She's going to just... It's not going to be from counter to counter to counter. Ain't that right? God didn't speak to her. So we went this morning from counter to counter to counter. And she was like, "So I know what you're saying." She found it. It was like down in the bottom counter. But she went down there and found it. I said, "Look at that." She said, "That's because you broke your finger and you can't get it off." I said, "No." And I did it. And I don't know if I can get it off right now. But usually I can. But the fact is, are you faithful over the sacred things in your life? Are there things in your life that are sacred? Young person, right now, the most sacred things you have are your bodies. I know it sounds crazy. The world says just give them away and share them and do kiss anything and everything and hug on this and let somebody... No, that's the most sacred part of your life. One day you will trade that for this. Lisa owns my body. I get a ring. That's all right. She got a ring and I get her body. It's a good swap. Right now, you have to be sacred. It's a sacred part of you. The world says, "There's nothing sacred." Yes, there are. For us adults, our words are sacred. When young people, when our kids, when others are looking at us, our words are the most sacred things we have. When we say something, will we follow through with those things? Are we serious? Even if we tell them, "Look, man, if you do that, I'm going to spank you." You know what? They'll test you sometimes. They'll do it just to see if you would do it. Because here's all they're wanting to know. They're just wanting to know what's the sacred things. And when they grow up, they will have no problem when somebody says, "Well, let's do it." "No, no, 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 you don't do that. You don't know my mama. My mama will kill you doing that." Why? Because she'd about killed me that one time I did it. The most precious, most powerful things, sacred things of our lives. And here's the key. If God can trust you with those things, then here's a promise I'm going to give you that He gave you.
whatever it is that you desire, whatever dreams you have, whether it's to get married one day or to be successful one day or to move out of the little house into a bigger, whatever the dream is, God knows it. That's why He promises. See, He says, listen, if you will be faithful over these little things, I will add the other things. But think of how rich God is. Think of how quick He can add something to your life. But what He's looking for more than anything else is He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for how faithful you can be day in and day out when things are good and things aren't good. In a few minutes, we're going to go out there and write on that wall. And those words don't come because they're just scriptures. They're words because they're faithful. They're things that God has given you, showed you. And I want this house to be built on this faithful part. I want this house to be built on faithfulness. If you can learn that, there's nothing in this world that will stop you.